I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Immense respect for this man. Mike Ostrom is with us, involved in so many important health emergencies, epidemics, working with administration after administration in this state, administration after administration at the federal level. Among his many responsibilities, director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the U of M. Mike, always a pleasure. Mike is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. How are you?
Thank you, Chad. Fine. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. Let's start COVID. It seems to me, as an observer of the news, it seems to be a bit quiet right now. Am I right on that or am I wrong?
No, not only right, but let me make you right three times. And that is the fact that right now in Minnesota, and for that matter, most of the country, the three primary viruses that we worry about causing severe respiratory disease, including critical illness and hospitalization, as well as death, is COVID, influenza, and respiratory syncytial virus, what we call RSV. And right now, all three of those are at basically almost a modern low compared to where we've been the last 4 or 5 years. So right now, we're actually in the best shape we've been across the board with serious illness due to these respiratory viruses.
The obvious follow-up question, Mike, is this. Why?
Well, it's a cycle issue. We see that if you get a lot of people exposed to a given virus, they get infected, they get critically ill, they may die. That obviously takes them out of the pool. But if you don't, you recover, and you often will have some limited protection. In the case with both influenza and COVID, it may be a month where you actually have protection against a new infection or at least serious illness. And unfortunately, for those who get RSV, they may have protection for even a much longer time. So we're really at that point right now where we've seen a lot of protection. That could wane over the winter months coming before us here. And so, you know, we're looking at the possibility of seeing those numbers change January, February. But at this point, at least we don't have any evidence that they would grow precipitously, and nothing around COVID is going to go back to the pandemic level. So I don't see that happening at all.
So let me stay with COVID, because you've made that point over and over again. We're not going back to the pandemic, but we'll ride the roller coaster. Is there any way that at this low, enough things have changed where maybe we've reached a more significant tipping point in this at this level? Like, hey, Dan Cook is about to come on this station. Dan, you've talked to him many times. He's with Jason now. He dealt with COVID for a week and struggled with it. So it's not like it's gone. But is this one of those moments where we might look back and say this was a changing point, or is it too early to say that?
Well, I think, again, as I've shared with you multiple times on this radio show, and you still ask me back, I'm not sure why, but this is where we need a lot of humility. And we need to say, you know, we don't know for certain what's going to happen in the future. But my best educated guess is that it's going to be a cyclic issue where you're going to see people getting vaccinated, you're going to see people getting infected, and then we have these new variants emerge. And when you have recent vaccination or infection status, you probably buy, like I said, 3 to 5 months of fairly good protection against serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths, not necessarily against getting reinfected. Then the variants come along, and they're now changing. And we have one right now that we call XEC. It's on the rise. We've been monitoring closely. I could see where that could show up in a much higher level than it is now in January, February, and at a point when it's now been 4 or 5 months since people were vaccinated or had previous infection, and the two get together, and we could see, again, spikes in cases. So I don't want to minimize the fact that where we're at right now means we're going to stay there. I think that we're going to see these cycles up and down. This is different than with influenza, where influenza, we call it a seasonal virus. You can pretty much predict that it's going to occur mid-November to, you know, early March, late February. And that does that year after year. And it does it in the southern hemisphere during their winter. With COVID, we haven't seen that yet. We've had 9 major peaks in the COVID pandemic, and the only thing that made it seasonal is they occurred in all 4 seasons. So I think we're still really at an unknown stage yet with COVID. I can say it's going to come back. It won't ever be as bad as it was, but we can still have challenges ahead. That's one of the reasons why I just want to emphasize, Chad, a recommendation the CDC made 2 weeks ago, that for those particularly over age 65, getting another dose of vaccine and getting 2 doses a year can dramatically reduce the number of people who become seriously ill and require hospitalization. You know, we're still talking about 1,000 deaths a week in this country. That's very different than 25 or 30,000 deaths a week, yeah, which is where we were at one point. But so I again, keep encouraging. I got my dose of vaccine several weeks ago as another one. I'm on it twice a year dosing, and I feel like that gives me good protection. Only about 30% of those individuals 75 years of age and older in this country that are at increased risk for serious illness have gotten that second dose.
Mike Osterholm's with us. It's 144. If somebody's listening right now, Mike, and they're thinking, you know, I've heard Mike before talk about when to get the flu vaccine. He just mentioned November to March, and they're thinking, should I do it now or should I wait? What do you tell them?
Well, thank you for that opportunity, because I just got mine very recently. I think we're close enough now to what likely will be a potential, you know, increased risk flu season. We looked at what happened in the Southern Hemisphere during our summer, their winter, and they actually saw substantial flu activity, and the vaccine had less than ideal protection, about 30% reduction in serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths, and that's surely a heck of a lot better than none at all. And it's very possible we could see a big increase in flu come January, because once you get vaccinated, as soon as you're vaccinated, you get this big boost in protection. But then after about a month, it starts to wane, meaning that you lose a little bit of it each month. And we know that the vaccine by 6 months out will have lost a lot of its horsepower. But, you know, if you get vaccinated now, you'll still have really good coverage during what I anticipate the December-January time period for increased flu. So get it now. Now's the time to go. And it's a good match relative to, you know, what's floating out there with flu viruses right now.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to have an election tomorrow. It is a 50-50 race, and I know you mainly stay out of politics, but I want to ask you about this, and I hope you're willing to answer. If not, I respect that also. If Donald Trump wins to some level, RFK Jr. is going to play a role. And RFK Jr. for decades has spoken out as a skeptic and as a critic of certain vaccines. Not all, but certain vaccines. Some vaccines which are highly praised, where I get well aware of this. As you know well, as the father of a magnificent child, actually 3 amazing kids, but one who has autism, when Bobby Kennedy again is talking about, well, there's an absolute direct link between vaccines and autism, and then I read about it, as I have hundreds and hundreds of times because of Quentin, and study after study after study shows there is not a link. The Wakefield study was debunked decades ago. And I know there are people, Mike, who believe there is a link. They believe something changed with their child. Uh-huh. And I only have empathy and wish the best for their kids. But when RFK Jr. is saying things like this, and also over the weekend, taking fluoride out of our water, which has been universally praised, as someone who's reluctant to talk about it, does he cause you to want to step up and say something?
Well, Chad, let me just preface these comments for your audience, and I know you'll have some who are listening intently right now in terms of what I might say. I have served roles in every presidential administration since Ronald Reagan. I was on the HIV/AIDS Commission Work Group back then. During the Bush years, I served as a special advisor to Tommy Thompson at HHS in the post 9/11 period. I served in the Obama administration on several positions. I was a science envoy for the State Department during the Trump administration, traveling around the world trying to help countries get better prepared for what eventually was the pandemic. And, of course, I've been on the Biden-Harris transition team on COVID and continue to advise them. You know, I've always believed that I was just a public health private in the public health army that's there to serve who's in charge. And I've tried to do that to my very best of my ability. You know, I served two Republican governors, two Democratic governors, and as I say, affectionately, one independent wrestler as governors in this state when I was at the state health department and, you know, stayed with that line. Last week, I did something I've never done before. I spoke out in my podcast in which I laid out the challenges of this election. And it was meant from a nonpartisan standpoint, but it was meant to speak to the facts. And I don't think any of us can sit by idly right now and not speak the facts. I didn't tell people who to vote for. I just said, please do your research and please vote. But I can tell you right now that there are a number of issues that are covered in Project 2025. You can say that that's not going to ultimately be what the Trump plan would be. I know too well too many of the people who are involved with 2025 who have served major roles and continue to do within the Trump world. Roger Savino is the example who wrote the work on HHS. First of all, they would gut public health as we know it. NIH, CDC, FDA would be severely handicapped. Our position around the world would be in a major, major way disabled. And that means, of course, these infectious agents that start somewhere else are going to end up here anyway. So, you know, I'd rather fight them there than fight them here. The issues you raised on the vaccines, you know, these are lives of people who will, in fact, not be able to make a decision for themselves. The 2-year-olds, the 3-year-olds, the 4-year-olds who will die from vaccine-preventable diseases. And again, I just lay those all out as factually as I can. I know that some people are very upset with me for that. I've already had, you know, the death threat kinds of things as recently as an hour ago. That's just the reality. And why do I do this? Because, you know, I'm an old man. I could go and retire and some would say, well, get the hell out of town now, okay? But, you know, I wake up every morning and the first thing I think about is why am I going to go to work today? And all I have to do is look at my 5 grandchildren's faces, my kids, and I say to myself, I gotta do this. If I can't help make this a better world for them, who and what am I? And I'm telling you right now that it would be devastating for the Trump administration to come back into office with the plans that they now have laid out already, clearly laid out on what they would do with public health. So, you know, I guess I can't be any more straightforward than that. I still believe being like, you know, John Kelly, you know, all these people who have basically said I'm coming forward, not because I'm political, but because this is the truth. And what I just shared with you is absolutely the truth.
Mike, how often do you face a threat on your life?
Oh, more than I'd care. Yeah. You know, I don't mind not getting invited to somebody's house for dinner or parties, but I will admit that when people raise issues about safety, that concerns me, it concerns the people I work with, it concerns my family, et cetera. So, you know, it just goes with the job, and I accept that. And again, all I have to do is keep thinking about those 5 grandchildren I have, and it doesn't confuse me at all about what I'm doing.
It never should go with the job. People can have honest disagreements with you, spirited disagreements with you, passionate disagreements with you, hopefully with facts involved. But to go to that level is vile.
Well, Chad,
and disgusting.
Yeah, Chad, that's one of the reasons why I've always appreciated you. You have an audience that's very diverse, and they hang with you. And you yourself, you have people who may be one side of an issue or the other side of the issue. They may get charged and angry or whatever, but they hang with you. And so I've always tried to look to you as, how does he do that? How does he keep these coalitions of people together? And you do it really well. And, you know, some of us have tried to take a page or two out of your book. And so that's what I try to do.
That.
And one of the things I think most of all I do is just try to tell the truth.
That's
just tell the truth.
Yep. That's it, Mike. I appreciate your candor, your honesty, and your courage in this, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Great stuff, in my opinion, from Dr. Michael Osterholm, and I'm glad to have him as a friend, and I'm glad to have him as an ally in this show. You want to react, you can. 651-461-9226.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.